News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage in association with AIR.
Liz Dunphy, Southern correspondent with the Irish Examiner. She's with me in studio. Good morning, Liz.
Good morning, Jonathan.
Lots to talk about in the next little while. That's kind of terrifying, though, the type of drugs that are out there, isn't
it? Yeah, nicotines are really terrifying, aren't they? And to think that they would be in drugs that people could be taking at festivals is absolutely terrifying. It's just really scary. And yeah, I hope everybody will be safe at all together now.
We're going to talk about the sugar tax because that's a lot more sane to talk about. Sugar is a drug in the same way, but is a lot more widespread. The sugar tax is working, though. The extra few bob that is going on to every can of Coke or products like Red Bull, it does seem to be generating a lot of income for the state, at least.
Yeah, so it's yielded 30.5 million in 2025. And so the sugar tax as it stands, basically, the lower band adds 5 cents to a 330 millilitre drink if it contains more than 5 grams of sugar. And then there's also a higher band, which will apply about 8 cents to a 330 milliliter drink if it contains 8 grams or more of sugar. And now this, like, these tax strategy papers where senior civil servants advise the government on things they could bring in the upcoming budget, they are suggesting that they potentially introduce a kind of multi-annual increases to this sugar tax so that there'll be more money coming in from this. And also, obviously, the idea would be to discourage people from consuming so much sugar, I suppose. So making more money for the government and potentially, you know, going into the HSE or, you know, whatever, maybe.
But my question is it stopping people drinking the big high sugary drinks, or is it just making money for the state? It just seems to be making money for the state.
It could well be, yeah. I don't know what the stats are on that. So I think people are probably still going to be drinking their fizzy drinks, whether there's, you know, an additional levy on them or not. But actually, one thing that was interesting in this as well, they were saying that it's becoming increasingly difficult to forecast, you know, how much government is going to make from taxes on tobacco products. And we know the government's obviously taxed tobacco products hugely, yeah. And that's leading to major changes in the market. Also, we're obviously seeing new products on the market in this space. But I suppose taxing in that way has changed the market, hasn't it? So perhaps it will discourage in the long run people from drinking these sugary drinks.
It's a big day for Jack Chambers, Minister for Public Expenditure, because he is bringing forward his shopping list of things that he wants to get done quickly. What is on the list of this critical infrastructure, and who's going to benefit?
So the critical infrastructure bill is basically a piece of legislation that is going to ensure that every kind of government department will force through critical infrastructure more quickly. So there's talk about being on that list the light rail system for Cork, which is where we're broadcasting from today. There's been a lot of talk about that recently and the need for it.
This isn't the Lewis now. This is just the
light rail.
This is the train, is it?
The train, sorry. Yeah. And then there's also talk about increasing what is apparently the busiest rail network in the country, the route from Dublin, Connolly out to Malahide. So they're talking about increasing that by an extra 2 tracks, so to a 4-track system, basically, which would, you know, obviously speed up transport on that route significantly. That's estimated. They haven't fully costed it, but it's estimated that that could cost some 1 billion euros to build. And there will have to be talk about, you know, if you're expanding tracks, there'll be talk about potential CPOs, compulsory purchase orders, potentially on people's private land or bottom of gardens. They'll obviously have to widen the route. So that's going to be a story to watch, I imagine, coming up. There'll be a lot of talk about that.
It's a little grim, though. And of course, the Metro, which they've been talking about for the last 30 years, is on the list as well. It's a little grim, though, that the government has to say, well, these are really important now, so we're going to go with these. It just gives a damning indictment of the planning system as it is, that we have to declare things critical infrastructure in the hope that they might be built faster.
It does, but something has to be done. Another piece of infrastructure on that list apparently is going to be the Galway Ring Road. And I think a lot of people over the summer will potentially have driven around that area to go to all the beautiful areas on the west coast around there, Connemara and the likes. And I think a lot of people will have been shocked by the amount of traffic congestion in that area. So that's another one of the critical infrastructure projects that has been targeted. But you're right, it does show what the problems have been with our planning, I suppose, really, doesn't it?
Two animal stories to finish up with. The poor monkey.
I know, little marmoset monkey. Have you seen them? They're so cute.
They're very cute. And obviously, some people are keeping them as pets in the UK, but there's been a change in the law and they're abandoning the little monkeys.
And apparently they can be quite feisty little things. So I think people probably get them thinking, oh, what sweet little monkeys. And then they realise, as many people do when they get pets, about just how much work goes into the care of an animal. And this poor little monkey, which they've called Oyster after the Oyster,
the Oyster card
in the travel system in the UK. So apparently a woman was trying to push her buggy down a bus in London and it became jammed by a laundry bag, which was spilling out of the, you know, the kind of bag holding area. So the bus conductor came down to investigate and pushed it in, and
thinking
there was
a
streak.
Load of dirty underpants and socks and jerseys.
Kicking it very carefully, I'm sure, and found this little monkey. So now more than €3,000 in a reward, I think 3,500, something like that, is being offered for anyone who can provide enough information that could lead to an arrest and prosecution of somebody who left this monkey. So they're obviously trying to make a big, you know, a big deal out of this, because it's obviously an animal welfare issue. It's
monkey.
A public safety issue potentially.
I just think it's very sad that they've got to that point where monkeys are just being abandoned around
I
the place.
The other
story is about birdsong. Now, Liz, this will come as a terrible shock to you. I am a nerd. I know. You wouldn't think it by looking at me. But one of my favourite apps on my phone is a birdsong app.
It's brilliant.
It's really good, isn't it? But this is a study into what noises the birds are making and why they're doing it. And there are there's 8 constant sounds, according to a study, that gives an indication of what the birds are actually doing.
Yeah, which is quite incredible. So they, as part of this study, they actually analysed 116,000 songs from 3,160 species. And they found that despite all this huge diversity in birdsong, that actually they were all built on these 8 kind of pillars of sound, essentially. So like trills and whistles and these different kind of like structures of sound, the sound architecture. But they found that it would vary depending on the environment where the bird was living. So if they lived in a very dense environment, they would use different sounds so that they could kind of penetrate, say, the jungle. Or if they were somewhere where there's a lot of other birds and you can hear them quite well, they'd have more elaborate sounds so as to be able to attract a mate or to warn, or, you know, to communicate more clearly.
My favourite part of birdsong is the robin, the humble robin, which is one of everyone's favourite birds in our gardens. And you know when you hear the robin in the morning and he's giving it holly and he's real, and he goes, oh, isn't that lovely?
Gorgeous.
Do you know what the robin is doing? He's waking up and telling everyone, leave me alone. And I respect the robin for that.
I feel like that some days myself. I don't blame the poor little robin.
Liz Dunphy of the Irish Examiner, thank you so much for coming in to join us this morning.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.